Yeah, today is what we call on our Julian calendar Palm Sunday, and it's the day that we traditionally mark to remember the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Toward the end of his earthly ministry, he fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah by riding into Jerusalem on a colt that had never before been ridden. And as he rode in, we typically think of children waving palm branches, but you know what the scriptures tell us? That it wasn't just children, it was multitudes. Multitudes lined the streets, waving palm branches, throwing garments down to basically red carpet the way, so to speak, and crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It was a celebration, much like we've had today as we've sung about living hope, and we sang Hosanna, everybody praise the Lord. You know, if they'd had the song back then, you can almost hear that the folks would have lined the street singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But how quickly things change. It was a wonderful celebratory day and a good few days, but around midweek, the mood changed drastically. We're going to be reading out of the 26th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, if you want to be turning there, beginning at the 20th verse of the 26th chapter. As you're finding it, we already kind of set the stage. Jesus rode in on one day, spent several days doing some things. One of those things, he cleansed the temple and upset some folks. He taught some more parables that are divine truth, but it upset some hard-hearted people. But he had come to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. And so now it's time for him to have that meal, that sacred meal with his disciples. And so they have procured a room, and several of his disciples have prepared the meal for the feast. And that's where we pick up our passage today. So as you're able, I'd ask that you stand in reverence for the reading of God's holy and inspired word. So in the Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter, beginning at verse 20, the Word of God says, "When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' He answered and said, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born.' Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Rabbi, is it I?' He said to him, 'You have said it.' And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered and said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.' Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' And so said all the disciples." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for what your word teaches us, Lord, as the Spirit stirs within us. So, Lord, I pray that as the Spirit has stirred me with this word, Lord, may your Spirit stir in all of us to convict us, to teach us, to encourage us. Lord, whatever it is that we need from you in order to be built up into your body, do that. Have your way among us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the setting we have here is a really familiar one. When we think of the Last Supper and the arrest of Jesus and the events that eventually led to the cross, inevitably we think of Judas. And in fact, Judas is not a name that is given to many people these days because it conjures up certain emotions, doesn't it? When we think of Judas, we think of the betrayer. And Jesus said, basically at the dinner, that there is a traitor among us. And we know from reading that passage just now that all the disciples knew exactly what was going to happen. They said, yeah, it's probably Judas, isn't it? They had no idea. Every single one of the disciples said, Lord, is it me? And actually, if you look at the Greek, it's almost like they're doubtful, almost like they're saying, surely not I, Lord. Surely it's not me. They don't believe it's them, but at the same time, if the Lord has spoken it, it must be truth. And they don't suspect anyone above another. And so Jesus gives them a real helpful hint. Now, it's recorded a little differently in the Gospel of John. We're just going to go with Matthew for now. He says, the one who dips his hand in the dish with me will betray me. Well, this was a community dinner. Who dipped their hand in the dish with Jesus? They all did. John's gospel makes it clear that Judas is the one that did it immediately after and that Jesus gave him a piece of bread. But here, Jesus says, the one who dips his hand with me will betray me. And you can tell by the reaction of the disciples, they didn't immediately go, oh, that was Judas. Judas is the guy. No, they're still saying, surely not I. And even Judas, who has already by this point gone and made a deal with the authorities, he says, Rabbi, is it I? See, we think of Judas as a particularly bad and evil man, because it says Satan entered his heart. But you know, sometimes Satan enters our heart and convinces us as an angel of light that things are good. And so there are those who presume that Judas was up to no good, that Judas saw this as a way to make some easy money, and after all, he didn't think they were going to kill him. He just thought he could make some money. Then there are also those who think that perhaps Judas was trying to force Jesus' hand. After all, Judas believed that Jesus is the Messiah, the King of Israel. And so maybe if Judas forces the Lord's hand, he'll finally show his power and kick those Romans to the curb. So maybe Judas' intentions were good. But we know where good intentions lead, right? They pave a road to the good place. No, they don't. Because regardless of Judas's intentions, the end result is that Judas chose to do what he thought best. He chose to do what was best for him, what would either line his pockets or what would lead to his liberty from the Romans. But he did what was right in his own eyes. And so he betrayed the Lord. And maybe he didn't see it as such at the time. He said, Rabbi, is it I? But was Judas the only betrayer? A little later in our service, Jesus says, all of you will be made to stumble this night. And they were very headstrong, and Peter especially, we think of Peter as the headstrong one, right? Peter says, I will never deny you. And Jesus says, trust me, you're going to do it tonight. And so Peter gets even more obstinate. And he says, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And was he alone in that? No, the very last verse we read, and so said all the disciples. Every single one, Judas had already left by this time, but all of the 11 said, yep, what he said, we'll die with you before we deny you. But you know what happened? Just a few verses later, they'd gone to the garden. Jesus prayed. The soldiers came to arrest Jesus. And then all 11, in verse 56, we read that all 11 who had just said, even if we have to die with you, we will not deny you. In verse 56, it says, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Jesus said, there's a traitor among us. And they all said, surely not I. But you know what? Truth be told, they were all the traitors. They were all traitors. But there's a remarkable thing that happens between the time that they betrayed him, between the time they forsook him, and the time that they swore they wouldn't. Between those two points, Jesus broke bread and said, take, eat. And he took the wine and gave thanks and said, drink from this, all of you. This is the blood. This is my blood of the new covenant. Jesus had already told them that they would all stumble. He had already said, there's a traitor here. And knowing what they would do, knowing the extent to which they would fail, he still invited them to his table and offered them the bread of his body. He offered them fellowship. And he offered them the blood that would cleanse their sins. Isn't that beautiful? You know, the sad thing is, Judas just kind of barely missed out. He had already made the deal. He had already betrayed Jesus. He had already transgressed. But if he'd stayed at the dinner, he might have found forgiveness too. But instead, he left. And the point for us today, I don't have a super long message, just this impression that I have. Do you know how much it had to hurt Jesus for his own to betray him? But it did happen according to Scripture. Regarding Judas in Psalm 55, long before Judas, in Psalm 55, the psalmist says, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one, not Psalm 55. Psalm 41, the psalmist says, all who hate me whisper together against me. That sounds like the Pharisees in that time, doesn't it? All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt. We're told earlier in that chapter that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they plotted to see how they could arrest Jesus by deceit. They plotted his hurt. An evil disease, they say, clings to him. They called him a blasphemer. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Obviously, they were plotting to kill him. But then the psalmist says, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Folks, there's still a traitor among us. And you know what? That traitor is me. And that traitor is you. It's real easy for us to, particularly like if we're teaching Sunday school, or me when I'm behind the pulpit, it's real easy to pretend I'm Peter. To boldly lash out and proclaim the truth and say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And even if I have to die, I'll never deny you. Woohoo! I'm like Peter. Well, that's not a good thing. Because even Peter failed. Peter cursed and denied the Lord 3 times. You know what? I am like Peter. I can be real bombastic in my faith and fail in the critical moments. How many of you are like Peter? Or how many of us are like John, who bask in the great love of Jesus? You know, we can come to church on Sunday morning and talk about how we're awed by the fact that, oh, I'm the disciple Jesus loved. I can't even name my own name. I'm so floored by the fact that he would love me. And while Peter is burdened to go preach the truth of the gospel from one end, from one side, those who are like John want to preach the truth of the gospel from the other side, which is that God loves you. He is a God of love. And so we're like John. But you know what? John forsook the Lord and fled also. Andrew forsook the Lord. Bartholomew forsook the Lord. Thomas forsook the Lord. They all fled. Judas was not the only traitor. But you know what? As much as I'd like to think that I'm more like Peter, isn't it true that very often we're more like Judas? That regardless of our intentions, we make decisions, we make choices, and we do things that are right in our own eyes. We choose to do what's best for us rather than what is the will of the Lord. On Sunday morning, we can come into this house and we can be those faithful disciples that say, I will never deny you. But the truth of the matter is, Monday through Saturday, many of us are much more like Judas than we'd like to admit. There's a traitor among us, and it's me, and it's you. We've all betrayed the Lord. After all, that's what sin is. God created all that there is, and as the divine creator, he has the right to order and govern our lives. And when we rise up against that to do what's right in our own eyes, or to do what we think is better or what's good for us, then we have committed treason against the King of Heaven. Whether we were at the table or not. See, they all betrayed the Lord. The Pharisees and the Sadducees betrayed the Lord. They were never in his corner, but they claimed to be in God's corner, and yet they denied God's servant. And they couldn't even be man enough, so to speak, to face him head on, but had to confront him with deceit and trickery and deception. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, those who were never going to follow Jesus, they are still guilty of betraying God. They're still traitors. And then there are those multitudes that lined the street as Jesus entered Jerusalem saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were Jesus fans at the moment. You know why? Because everyone else loved Jesus. They were fair weather friends. And then when the winds of culture changed and shifted, the very ones who said, Hosanna, started crying out, Crucify. They betrayed the Lord too. There wasn't a soul. There wasn't a soul on earth that didn't betray the Lord that day. And there's still not a soul among us who doesn't betray the Lord. Those of you who are here, and you may not really know what I'm talking about. You've never met the Lord. You've never been saved. You're here because culturally, church is a good thing to do. You're here because you want to please family and do what's meaningful to everyone. But you don't really know the Lord. The truth is, you're a traitor against Almighty God. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've missed the mark of God's holiness. You have transgressed His command. You're a traitor against God. And if you're here and you've been a precious saint for, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years, however long you've been saved, truth is, there's not a day that goes by that in the war with our flesh, the flesh doesn't win. And we do what's right in our own eyes. We do what's best for us instead of what's according to the will of the Lord. And you betray the Lord. Week after week, we come in here, bless the Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. I will never deny you, Lord, until Monday comes. We're all traitors. But that's why this is so beautiful, because even though I betray the Lord on the daily, even since He saved my soul, I betray Him all the time. And yet the Lord knew what they were going to do. He knew that they would all flee. He knew they would all forsake Him and He would be on that cross alone. And yet He said, I still want your fellowship. He broke bread with them. He shared His wine with them. He instituted the Lord's Supper so that we could remain in fellowship. Because it's hard. Y'all, do you ever get discouraged when you fail and think, how could the Lord still love me? The sting of betrayal is real. This is where I started to read in Psalm 55. The psalmist says, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. We have fellowship with the Lord. We walk with Him. And we betray Him. Do you think it doesn't sting? Do you think it doesn't hurt Him? And yet still, knowing that we'll do that, He offers forgiveness and grace and says, come to the table. Take and eat. Have fellowship. Be part of the body. Don't run away like Judas did. Judas ran away and never came back. Sometimes we may stray. We may forsake Him. We may deny Him. But you know what Jesus said is, after I'm raised, I'll go before you into Galilee. I'll be waiting for you when you come back. That's what the table represents, is that though we stray because of our fellowship with the Lord, He's always waiting for us when we come back. And He offers His blood. His blood of the new covenant. You know what His blood does? 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Folks, I don't know about you, but I've betrayed the Lord this week. Have you? I'm not asking for a show of hands. But any time we come to the Lord's table for the Lord's Supper, we ought to examine ourselves. So I'm inviting you to do that, encouraging you. Examine yourselves. And see and know how you've betrayed the Lord this week, this month, this year, however long you have to go back. And if you're like me, maybe you only have to go back about 30 minutes to the last time you got distracted from the holy things of the Lord to chase that which is worldly. See, folks, something we have to understand is as our divine creator, he has lordship not only over our actions, but even over our thoughts. If we allow our thoughts to stray to that which is displeasing to him, we've committed treason against him. But he knew all of that. He knew all of that when he saved me. He saved me 30 some odd years ago. Now, I'm not going to do the math right now because I'll show myself to be not good at it. 30 some odd years ago, knowing what sins I would commit 20 years from now, he saved me anyway. He still invited me to the table. And when I came to the table, he said, "One of you here is going to betray me." And surely in that moment of being, having repented and being born again and on this high, I said, "Surely not I." And he said, "Assuredly so. But here, take, eat. Have fellowship. Drink from this. It's my blood. His blood washes away our sins." If you think it's not you today, I want you to consider what John says after that. In verse 8, he says, "If we say that we have no sin," and he's speaking to believers here, folks. This letter is not a letter written to lost people in the world. He says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I've betrayed the Lord. I'm a traitor. But he offers forgiveness and grace. And I can try again from this point forward. In his strength, I can try to do better. But he also knows that I'll betray him again. But he keeps inviting us back to his table. You know, his table isn't this table. This table, this Lord's Supper ordinance that we do, it's just representative of the fellowship that we can have with the Lord every day. There is no grace imparted by taking the Lord's Supper. No one is saved or forgiven of anything because they eat a little piece of bread or drink a little cup of juice. There's no grace in it. You know what the beauty of an ordinance is that it allows us to remember grace that we've already experienced. When we eat this little piece of bread, we're reminded that we are already part of the Lord's body by his grace. When we drink this little bit of juice, we're reminded that he shed his blood to wash away my sin. And I'm not going to go into the technicalities of the grammar, but that verse about the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, it's a Greek tense that is present and ongoing. It means the blood of Jesus keeps cleansing us from our sin. His blood keeps on cleansing us. Y'all, we can't get soiled enough that he can't cleanse us. Isn't that marvelous? Don't get discouraged. Don't get disheartened because you think you failed the Lord and walk out. Don't be like Judas. Judas wasn't any worse than the rest of them in terms of what he did. It's what he didn't do that set him apart. He never repented. He never came back. He even recognized the error of his ways, and he grieved in his own heart, but he never repented to God. He never sought forgiveness. And that's why there is woe to that man today. But if you know the Lord, there's a note of warning here in that we don't need to think too highly of ourselves. We have all betrayed the Lord, and we're all going to keep betraying the Lord. But the Lord's Supper reminds us that we have fellowship with Him, and His blood keeps on cleansing. So keep seeking fellowship. But if you're here and you don't know the Lord today, there's a spot at the table for you too. If you come to Jesus. Now, I said at the beginning that we've reserved the Lord's Supper to those who've been saved. And the reason is, it's just representative of grace that's already been received. If you haven't already come to Jesus and been made part of His body, if you haven't been washed by His blood, if you haven't received that testimony of the Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you are the child of God, then this meal means nothing for you. But if today your heart is broken because you've betrayed the Lord, there's a place at His table for you. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Repent. Repent. Turn back on that betrayal. Throw yourself on the mercy of the Lord, and you can be saved today. You can enjoy a communion much richer than this ordinance, as beautiful as it is. There's a traitor among us. Will you repent? Will you come back to the Lord? Stay at the table. We're going to sing a song here in a minute as we kind of transition. And as we do, before we move into the Lord's Supper, the admonition is that we examine ourselves, that we come to the table in a fit manner. And like I said, you don't have to be a member of this church. We just ask that you be a member of the Lord's body so that you understand what it is that you're partaking of. But take the time to examine yourself. As we sing, take the time to pray, to confess any known sin, to ask the Lord to reveal any unknown sin so that you can be cleansed and free when you come to the table. But there's also a note of encouragement. Because, folks, no matter what you've done, no matter how severe your betrayal is, there's forgiveness. There's restoration. There's fellowship available. Because see, here's the thing. In Acts, it's made clear that everything that befell Jesus, even though we want to blame Judas for betraying Him, even though we want to blame the disciples for forsaking Him instead of fighting for Him, the truth is Jesus was delivered up to death according to the will of God. Jesus did exactly what He intended to do, what He was sent to do, what He came to do. And the same is true for us. Even when we betray the Lord today, I know some of y'all freak out when I come down here, but you know, it's all right. You know, I'm no better than any of y'all. I'm a traitor too. But even when we betray the Lord, it's not like it surprises him. It's not like he goes, man, he really messed up. I did not see that coming. No, he uses that. Even our betrayals are according to the will of God, because he makes all things work together for good to them that love him or are called according to his purpose. He causes my failures to shape me. He uses my shortcomings to make me stronger. In my weakness, his strength is made perfect. Isn't that beautiful? So if you don't know the Lord, seek him today. If you do know the Lord, certainly repent. But also, don't beat yourself up too bad, because the Lord knew what you were going to do. He knows what you're going to do this week, and he's going to use it all to make you stronger and conform you to the image of the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? How wonderful. How wonderful. So as we sing, just examine your heart before the Lord so you can come to the table with a clear conscience. But there's a word of warning too. This song we're going to sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated Unto Thee." Folks, we betray the Lord if we make promises that we don't keep. Be very thoughtful of the songs that we sing. Is that the pledge of your heart today? Lord, in light of all that you've done, in light of all that you're doing, take my life and let it be consecrated to thee. Can we say that with honesty? Is that truly our prayer? Let's bear that in mind as we sing. But let's stand together. We'll pray very briefly, and we'll sing a song, and then we'll move into our Lord's Supper. Lord, I give you thanks today for your mercy. I give you thanks for your grace, Lord, that just like you did with your disciples, you were able to see ahead in time, Lord, and know how I would forsake you, how I would deny you, how I would fail you, how I would betray you and break my promises, Lord. But Lord, you loved me anyway, and you still love me. Your blood keeps on cleansing, Lord, so long as I persevere in having fellowship with you. Lord, by your mercy, draw me closer. By your mercy and grace, draw us all closer, Lord, and help us to see the beauty in your forgiveness, because we are weak and frail, and we've all betrayed you. And Lord, there may be those among us today who don't yet know you as Savior. Lord, I pray that you would impress upon them the truth by your Spirit that they are traitors also against the holy God and in need of your mercy and grace that you offer freely. If we'll just surrender to the drawing of the Spirit and come. Lord, have your way among us today. Show us our sin, Lord. Show us our secret sin and help us to confess and repent of it so that we can come to the table clean and renew our fellowship and our walk with you. Lord, help us, guide us, strengthen us. Move among us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.